and welcome. This is Cindy Gomez-Shemp.
And this is Duke Gomez-Shemp.
And you're listening to KPPP LPFM, broadcasting online through 365 Live and soon to be found on your radio dial at FM 88.1, adding local color to your airwaves. And thank you for listening in again. We appreciate all of your comments, your questions, your topic ideas. We've even had some folks approach us to start doing some programming of their own on the radio. We've got some interesting projects that we're working on for doing a kids program on the radio, and Native people coming and doing programming on the radio, and it's very exciting. So keep us informed of what you want to hear, and share your comments and questions. You can leave us a message at 701-566-0917, or you can send me an email at cindy@kpppfm.com, or duke@kpppfm.com, or you can tweet us at @media_PPP. And last week we had a program, or last podcast was about police and cameras. That's what we discussed, and it was a very long discussion about, you know, all of the different pros and cons about having police wearing cameras. And we still want to hear more about your comments and questions on that topic, so share those with us, and we may play them on the show, or we may share them on our next podcast. KPPP FM is looking for people in the FM area who want to produce and broadcast their own programming. We're here to serve first and foremost to give voice to those most underrepresented in media: women, people of color, LGBT, the homeless, the poor, and also all of those who are traditionally disenfranchised from radio and other media platforms, such as faith groups, nonprofits, blue-collar workers, elders, and kids. So if you've got a show idea, contact us and let us know.
And we'll work with you wherever you're at.
Exactly. So today's topic is, we're going to, actually I want to cover a little bit of housekeeping items and go over some of the podcast topics we've talked about before, give you guys some updates on what's happened. We were talking yesterday about the case of Sam DuBose, the man who was shot by a Cincinnati University police. And he has, Officer Tenzing has now been indicted for murder. If you will recall, he stated that he was dragged by the vehicle and that he was facing a threat to his life because Sam DuBose was alleged to have been trying to escape or run him over with his car or something like that. And of course, when they saw the video footage from the camera, which he was wearing, it was not true. It turned out he lied, and also two of his fellow officers died. And if you listen to yesterday's podcast, we talked about the fact that those other officers had been accused in a previous case of brutally beating a mentally ill black man who was having a
psychotic
episode. Yes. A psychotic episode, yes.
And that's pretty common with people's schizophrenia. You know, I've known a lot of people, and they've had to deal with the police when they're having an episode.
Yes, but this gentleman did not do very well. He was tasered 3 times, and he was screaming that he didn't want to be treated, that he was being treated like a slave. And he died after that. And the family sued the police department. Well, you know, to add insult to injury, this news just shot me today in the heart. I couldn't believe it. I thought the cruelty, the evil of people in this country is astounding to me. This officer who has been caught lying, who was caught lying, right?
Right.
It was so horrible. He was so horrible in what he did that the prosecutor, the police chief, I believe, said he should never have been a police officer.
Wow.
At all. That they thought he had completely overreacted, not to mention the fact that he lied to cover it up. And so did his buddies on the force, who, it was announced today, will not be facing any charges for falsifying a police report of a murder. Right?
Right. Well,
that's terrifying. And it's interesting because we were having this conversation yesterday about these officers and social media online. And a local attorney commented that these other two officers should be indicted for a variety of different crimes, including falsifying a police report.
Yes, police shouldn't be above crime, you know, and it just shows how they're immune to that. They have this standard that's given to them that is not given to the rest of us.
So, yes, exactly. And this isn't the first time, at least one of these officers, like I said, was involved in the death of another person. So it seems that when you allow these kinds of things to go unchecked, it gives these officers this sense of, power that no one can touch, that they are really above the law, that they could do anything that they want. And it's a very dangerous precedent to set. So the other thing that we talked about that I think is really in the news a lot right now is Cecil the Lion. I know people are tired of hearing about Cecil the Lion.
But it's being covered every day by media, especially here locally, because that dentist from Minnesota is from North Dakota and has land in Cass County, which is where Fargo's located.
I did not know that. And I knew he was from North Dakota because people keep saying, oh, he's from Minnesota. Let me tell you guys something really interesting. So I was reading about, I was seeing the reactions of people about Cecil the Lion. And believe me, it's a horrible way to go. I think it's a horrible situation. He was a 40-year-old lion, had 22 cubs who will probably now be killed, according to the park rangers. And yes, all of that is horrible. However, one of the things that was shocking was the reaction of white folks to Sandra Bland being found dead in her jail cell. Or should I say the lack thereof? The lack of outrage. The immediate defense, ridiculous defenses that people came up with to justify that this woman should be dead for a traffic violation that was no turning signal while changing into another lane. That was what caused her death. She's dead.
Yeah, that was a crime she committed against society.
Right. And I mean, I'm going to talk about other people that are found dead in their jail cells that have been found dead in their jail cells in the last month or so. It is an astounding number of black and brown and Asian people. And it's really disturbing that all of these people of color are being found dead and barely anyone is talking about them. Sandra Bland is the one name everybody knows. I'm going to go through a list later of others to see how many people have heard of these, because I think we should be talking about them as much as we're talking about Cecil the Lion.
That's right.
At least.
Exactly.
They should get enough mention that people should be outraged about them as well.
Yes. Yes.
Because they're human beings. Mm-hmm. I said it yesterday, I'll say it again. It hurts my heart to think that the killer of Cecil the Lion will face more jail time than the people that killed African-American people in this country, the mm-hmm. officers that have killed African-American people in this country. And it's sad to realize that we can come together unanimously as a country, almost unanimously. Yes, there are people out there. There are people out there in large quantities of them that believe that, oh, stop talking about Cecil the Lion. Who cares? He was just a lion. Doesn't matter. Leave that poor dentist man alone. Oh, and by the way, they want you to leave the poor dentist man alone. Leave him alone. This is a mob mentality. This is what they think. This is what they say. And almost all of those people live here in Minnesota.
Yeah.
Imagine that.
Mm-hmm.
The people that want the defense of this guy who killed Cecil the Lion, who obviously lied in the past to federal authorities about his killing of other animals, who had a sexual harassment lawsuit against him. This dude, he has garnered sympathy mostly from his neighbors around here. I think there's sort of this guilt by association in happening in social media and around this story, because there's a lot of hunters and I believe Midwestern white folks in Minnesota who are like, he may be a lion murderer, but he's our lion murderer.
Yes, he's our dentist after all.
He's one of us. And leave him alone.
And there's a lot of gun culture here. I was just listening to a radio show when I was driving today, and they were talking about these guns and everybody owning guns and how beautiful they were, and come on out, they can shoot free bullets today. And it's the same mentality that goes along with the police, is that white people just trust the police. So Sandra Bland is like, well, the police did what they're supposed to do, obviously, and we don't care about her. She's a criminal.
Yeah, and let's do a little bit of analysis of race and power dynamics with Cecil the Lion. Yes, rich white dude can do whatever he wants, has never been told no, isn't used to being told no, you can't, or you shouldn't. He'll do what he wants because he can, okay?
Yeah.
You know, this is kind of the attitude that I hear in the people that are defending this guy. Also, they're saying that he shouldn't be chastised publicly. He shouldn't be shamed. He shouldn't lose a day's business because of this. Listen, folks. If you do something or say something repugnant or racist or horrifying to most human beings with a conscience, prepare for them to be offended and disgusted with you. Yes, you have the right to do that stuff, maybe. Maybe you should think about not doing stuff sometimes, even though you could.
Exactly.
Maybe you just shouldn't do it. You know?
And shouldn't condone it either.
I don't know. What do you guys think? I want to hear your thoughts too on this. Do you just want to hear me stop talking about Cecil the Lion altogether? I want to hear what you have to say. Call us. You can leave us a message at 701. I can't find that number right now. Oh, goodness. There it is. 701-566-0917. Or you can send us an email at cindy@kpppfm.com or duke@kpppfm.com, or you can tweet us at @media_ppp. The next item of business under this Cecil the Lion discussion, I want to talk about this a little bit more. I want to give you some happy updates. Cecil's brother... Cecil has a brother, and his brother has stepped up to protect the 22 lion cubs that he leaves behind, which I believe Jericho is the name of the second male in line, he's believed that he would kill all of those cubs because he wants to inject his bloodline into the females.
I see. Yes, and also this is like, well, it's being, the cubs are taken care of, so the atrocity, the terrible thing that this dentist did to Cecil, it's okay now because the cubs are being taken care of.
Right. Right. No, I mean, I don't think that it's all right by any stretch of the imagination. But let me tell you what I think is kind of worse. I think it's worse that white America, to a large degree, is still more sensitive to the death of a lion than they are to the plight of African American people. African people. Even the African people are upset about how outraged Americans are about Cecil the Lion. Let me read you a quote. And this was in the Business Insider from a Harare resident there in Zimbabwe named Eunice Vunisi. I hope I pronounced that correctly. This is what she said. It's so cruel. She's talking about Cecil the Lion's killing here. It's so cruel. But I don't understand the whole fuss. There are so many pressing issues in Zimbabwe. We have water shortages, no electricity, and no jobs. Yet people are making noise about a lion? Yeah. The people of Zimbabwe want to know why the Americans care more about the lion in Zimbabwe when there's a huge drought. There's been all sorts of businesses that have had power outages, and people are literally starving and suffering because of poverty and unemployment. But the outrage isn't about, or concern isn't about, any of those people. It's centered more on a lion. And see, this is where the hypocrisy of racism jumps to the forefront and makes and slaps people of color in the face. We see it's like, oh my goodness, white people care more about animals than they do about the lives of human black people or human brown people. That's disturbing.
It is very disturbing, and we really need to think about that, because that point just hits so clear. It's like, what am I concerned about in Zimbabwe? It's like, it's an excellent statement, and that's a sort of media coverage that should be covered, is what's happening to people.
And you know what? Stop saying all lives matter. The Black Lives Matter movement is supposed to highlight the never-ending parade on an almost daily basis, that every 28 hours, a black man is killed by police. It is a stunning rate at which, I don't even know why they still call them officer-involved shootings. They should just say, police are murdering black people.
Yeah.
Police are lynching black people. This is modern day executions, because there is no judge or jury. There's no due process. In many cases, these people aren't even being charged with a crime. I'm going to get into some crazy statistics about the numbers of people that are in jails that are dying. And remember, not prisons, but jails, where people, most of them, most people don't know this, but most of the people that are sitting in those jails haven't been convicted of anything. They aren't guilty yet either. However, and except, many of them don't have money to get their bail paid. So they have to sit in there for months sometimes. And a lot of the people that are ending up dead in their jail cells haven't been charged with anything, right?
Yes.
They've just been arrested on a suspicion of a crime. And I'm going to tell you some of those crimes. You're going to be astounded. These are ridiculous crimes, like the one where Sandra Bland ended up dead as a result of failing to use her turn signal.
Yeah.
Folks should not end up dead for $2, the cost of a soft drink, which is what the man that died 1 week after Michael Brown was killed, the St. Louis police killed another black man who was accused of shoplifting a soda or a beer. I can't remember. It was something in a can. They shot him like a dog in the street.
Wow.
That shouldn't be happening. So I think that we need to think about why Black Lives Matter in this country is a movement. Why are people saying that? Instead of being so angry and defensive about your hearing Black Lives Matter, why does that make you angry? If it makes you angry, I think you're part of the problem. because it shouldn't make you angry that we're talking about the pain and suffering of Black people in this country to this day, unless you're an insensitive jerk and you have no feelings for the lives, the lost lives of Black people. You should care about that. We should all care about that in this country. But the statistical evidence shows us we don't, from cradle to grave, we do not care about the lives of Black people in this country. From cradle to grave, we do not care about the lives of Native people in this country. They're still the poorest people. They're still killed at a disproportionate rate to all other people of color in this country, Native people are. So if you have a problem when you hear someone say Mexican lives matter, Latino lives matter, Brown lives matter, Native lives matter, maybe you should ask yourself why that is. Why is that bothering you so much? But please, for the love of everything, stop saying all lives matter. Just stop doing it. Stop saying it. I know, we already know, okay? We already know. You don't give a flying flip about the lives of people of color, because if you have to say something that cruel, right? You wouldn't go to somebody's funeral and walk over to the people that are grieving and burying a dead person. Hey, other people have died today too.
Yeah.
Why aren't you crying about their death? You wouldn't go up to somebody who's suffering because they're bleeding out because of a gunshot wound and say, hey, to the people that are crying and freaking out and calling an ambulance. You wouldn't say, hey, everybody, there's other people that are being shot somewhere else too. I only hear this kind of ridiculous statement said to grieving people of color about the deaths of Black and Brown folks. It's disgusting.
It is. It's very cruel and inhumane.
It's cruel and inhumane, and you sound like an idiot. You sound like a jerk. Not just to people like me. You sound like that to white people too.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of white people in this country who understand that when we say Black lives matter, Native lives matter, it does not mean we do not care about white people's lives, for Christ's sake. Really. Because is there some massive amount of white people being slain at the hands of white superiority in this country?
Nope.
No. Because guess what? This country was built on white superiority for white people to benefit white people. So they're not racially profiled by the police. They're not disproportionately killed by them. Do police kill white people? Yes, they do. But we were talking about the disproportionate number of Black ones that they kill, that they incarcerate. We're talking about 1 in 3 Black men are going to end up going to prison. Think about that before you say something so unhuman, so cold, so cruel, so callous as all lives matters. All lives matter. Take your all lives matter. Keep it to yourself, okay? Don't say it to people of color anymore. Don't say it to grieving people of color, because we are sick and tired of that noise. If you've just joined us, you're listening to KPPP-LP-FM, broadcasting online through 365 Live and soon to be found on your radio dial at FM 88.1. We are adding local color to your airwaves.
You can give us a call and leave a message on our call-in line at 701-566-0917, or you can tweet us at media_PPPP, or you can email Cindy at kpppfm.com or Duke at kpppfm.com.
Yes, and I'm going to jump into the topic of the killing of people in jail, because the people are dying are all people of color, and all of these dead people are being said to have just killed themselves or died mysteriously from some emergency cardiac arrest or stop breathing under some mysterious circumstances. But folks, none of these people's families believe that they killed themselves or that they died because they had some diseased heart or something. They were fine moments before they ended up dead. And people want answers. People want to know how these folks died. So we'll be talking about that after a little musical break. I want you guys to think about how many names of people of color do you know that have died besides Sandra Bland? Everybody knows Sandra Bland, but after this little break, this music break, I want you guys to think about how many people of color you know of who have died in police custody, in jail, in their jail cells. We started you off with some Howard Jones, Things Can Only Get Better, and now we're going to go into our musical break with some Ludacris. This is for all of you with that All Lives Matter stuff. Listen up.
Get back! You don't know me like that! Get back! You don't know me like that! Saying nothing, we saying nothing. Give back!
And we're back. This is KPPPLPFM. We're broadcasting online through 365 Live and soon to be on your radio dial at 88.1, adding local color to your airwaves. This is Cindy Gomez-Shemp.
And this is Duke Gomez-Shemp.
And we want to hear what you have to say. Today's topic, we're talking about the police officer who killed Sam Dubois in Cincinnati, Ohio, with the Cincinnati, Ohio University Police Department. The two cops that lied along with him and got no charges for that. We talked about Cecil the Lion, and we are now talking about Black Lives Matter. Not all lives matter. Black Lives Matter, that movement, what it's about, why it's cruel to say all lives matter to people that are grieving. And one of those people is Sandra Bland, who was recently found dead. She had taken a job in Texas, and she was moving from Chicago to Texas to take this new job, and the police say she killed herself. They say they found her in her cell, that she hung herself. And her family doesn't believe it. There's an investigation underway. But there are many others. I asked before this music break where we played Ludacris, Get Back. How many names do you know? How many other cases of these have you heard of? Here's one, Ralkina Jones, age 37. She died in Ohio, Cleveland, Ohio. She was she was taken into custody following a call of a domestic dispute. So there was a domestic dispute that occurred in the home. She, I believe, had her 12-year-old child in the vehicle with her. And she was accused of trying to run her boyfriend over with her vehicle. So she was charged with a bunch of things, including child endangerment for her own 12-year-old child. And she was found dead in her cell. Her family claims that she was perfectly fine the day before she died, so there was no medical concerns that would have made it seem normal for this young mother, Ralkina Jones, to have died. And I want you guys to say her name, Ralkina Jones, Sandra Bland. Say her name. Say their names.
Sandra Bland, Ralkina Jones.
Yeah, we have to say their names because these lives are snuffed out, forgotten, and most of these, I haven't seen anything about them in the mainstream media news at all. Here's another one, Sarah Lee Circlebear. This happened in Aberdeen, South Dakota. And Sarah Lee Circlebear was found dead in her cell. She had complained to the guards that she was not feeling well. She was in horrible, excruciating pain, and they made fun of her. They dismissed her, and they told her to knock it off and to quit faking, and she was found dead in her cell. Tragic. It's horrible. It's tragic. This is a Native American woman, young Native American woman, found dead. Kendra Chapman, 18-year-old in Alabama. Kendra, police say that she stole a cell phone from somebody else on the street. This is an 18-year-old. How many times have kids fought over a cell phone? Is this worthy of a death sentence? Because she was fine, and then she was dead. She was 18 years old. She was found in Alabama. Pay attention to where these things are happening to. Aberdeen, South Dakota. South Dakota does not have a good track record where it comes to the treatment of Native Americans by the state, by the police, by Child Protective Services. You named it, we failed Native American people in South Dakota horrendously. And here is an example of a death. Cleveland, Ohio police are doing all sorts of crazy things. Cleveland, Ohio police have been in the spotlight for all sorts of police abuse and misconduct cases recently in the news, and police officer killings of people of color. Alabama, need I say more? This is the South, right? David Grand, age 50. Now, this man was found dead in jail in Grant County. He's from Moses Lake, Washington. He was accused of retail theft. Retail theft, that sounds to me like shoplifting. What does that sound like to you, dude?
It sounds like shoplifting to me, too.
Is that cause for a death sentence in this country?
No, it's a $100 fine around here.
How is it possible for a guy to get picked up for something like that and then end up dead?
And we're talking in jail, not in prison. We're talking in jails.
Right, in jails.
Which are temporarily hold people even before they're in court.
Right. They haven't been, I mean, in many cases, these people die within 24 hours of being in jail. Okay? And most of the cases, they die shortly after being taken into police custody. It's not like they're sitting in jail for months and they just decide to end it all. Now, some of these people were not found hung or were not ruled as suicides. They were just found dead under suspicious circumstances. Nobody knows why. They just died mysteriously. Rexdale W. Henry, age 53, is a Choctaw Native American activist who was found dead in his jail cell in Neshoba County in Philadelphia, Mississippi, on July 14th. Mississippi. There's another name in the South that has not a very good reputation for how it treats people of color. This man was found dead in his jail cell one day after Sandra Bland. What was he arrested for? Failure to pay a minor traffic violation. And that's why Sandra Bland was in jail when she died. According to authorities, they say it was a suicide, but her family doesn't believe it. The families of these people do not believe it. In the case of Rexdale W. Henry, a private donor paid for his body to be flown to Florida where they are doing an independent autopsy.
Wow.
One boggles at the mind. What do folks do, poor people of color do, when they want an independent autopsy and the autopsy person has ruled that it was a suicide and you don't believe it? People out there probably listening are thinking, well, that can't happen. You know, maybe the officer, you know, they did catch him on video doing some things he said he didn't do. Maybe he's lying, but are all these people lying? Well, we just talked about another case in which Officer Tenzing, who shot Sam Dubois in the face, he literally shot his face off. This man had two officers lie for him, and they're not even going to be charged. Does this happen? Yes, it happens a lot. In the case of Sandra Bland, it was revealed that the person that did the autopsy is related to the prosecutor. It is a system of white supremacy that was based on superiority of white people. Who are the majority of prosecutors? White males. Over 90% of them are. Who are the majority of judges? White males. Who are the majority of police? White males. Why is that? You can go back and listen to some of our previous podcasts where I talk about the history of policing, where it comes from. But if you don't know that, this might sound crazy to you. Oh, we're making a big deal out of nothing. But it isn't nothing. It is the lost lives of Black people. And that should matter to us. I want to know what you guys think. If you're just listening in, you're listening to KPPP LP FM. We are broadcasting online through 365 Live, and we will soon be on your radio dial at FM 88.1, adding local color to your airwaves.
If you want to give us a call and leave a message, you can call 701-566-0917, or you can get a hold of us through Twitter at media_PPP, or you can email us at Cindy at KPPPFM.com or Duke at KPPPFM.com.
Thank you, Duke. And this is Cindy Gomez Shemp.
And this is Duke Gomez-Shemp.
Welcome to our show. Today's topic is deaths in jails, police cover-ups, and we're talking about Cecil the Lion again. Tell us what you guys think. I want to give you some statistics, some information. This is taken from an article that I found at fusion.net. Duke, can you put these links for folks to find where this information came from so people can get information for themselves?
I sure can. I'll be putting them on the KPPPFM.com website under Listen to It Live.
And that's where you can find our other podcasts. So if you want to check on a previous podcast, you can find all of them listed right there. So here is some information about jails. Because unlike prisons, most people haven't been to a trial yet. Remember, we were just talking about this. About 6 out of every 10 inmates in this country are unconvicted. That is a quote from Cherise Fano Burdine, executive director of the Pretrial Justice Institute, a national advocacy group. Continuing, Cherise said, most of them are for misdemeanors, and most of them are low-level charges. If they had their risks assessed, they would be identified as low risk, and they should never be booked or held in the first place. Whoa.
Wow.
That means that the majority of people that are sitting in a jail cell, most of them because they can't pay bail, should have been assessed as a low risk anyway and not been booked and put in a jail. They could have been given a summons, a citation without that. Do you understand that, folks? So Sandra Bland could have just been given the citation. She did not need to be put in the jail cell. Is a shoplifter a high level risk to the community? Really? What do you think? I don't know. What constitutes a high risk that we would want to make sure that we leave those low-risk people outside of the jail? What constitutes that for you, Duke?
Well, you know, you're not causing harm to people or property, which is a definition of crime. And you know, I can think of someone who is really, really needs to be kept out of the public for something they're accused of. I have trouble really coming up with justifications, and especially when it comes to things that aren't crimes against humanity, things that are...
Damage to property could be hitting your car. Damage to property could be, you know, taking a soda. That's damage to property. Property damages include theft as a loss mm-hmm. of property. Mm-hmm. So is a $2 can of soda worth somebody's life? Is that a risk that we need to be concerned with? I mean, yes, if we're talking about a home invasion type theft where people have involved the safety of others breaking and entering into other people's homes, that to me sounds like a higher risk person that we need to remove for the safety of others. But someone that shoplifted a pair of jeans?
And that, you know, it comes to the judges. I think that we either read or watched a documentary where a judge talked about you know, the sentencing, you know, mandatory sentencing guidelines and those sorts of things. A judge should be judging whether someone is a harm to society and not sticking them in jail because they stole, you know, a candy bar or whatever it was. You know, it's that's not... The judge should be able to say, well, you know, you'll have to face this crime and come in and, you know, we'll go through this and then you'll have your day in court. But, you know, meanwhile, don't steal. And, you know, if you do, you'll be in worse trouble because you have this charge, you know, things like that. That could just be totally worked out with the community.
Okay, so back to some more of these names. There's a lot of them. I want to get through all of them. We were at Rexdale. I want to tell you now about Joyce Cornell. Age 50, she was found dead in a Charleston County jail in South Carolina. South Carolina.
Oh, boy.
What kind of reputation did they have with people of color? Not a very good one. Cornell had been arrested the day before on, guess what?
Shoplifting, right?
Yeah. Shoplifting. Again, there's a person that was completely fine one day, dead the next, after shoplifting. These things, to people of color who are used to hearing and seeing these kinds of things and knowing that they're not abnormal for people of color to have this. Asada Shakur said something about the fact that it was common to find dead black people in their jail cells, burnt, hanging. And I believe that this is an extension of the slave patrols, the lynchings. When you talk about the mob riots and that, all of that comes from white supremacy and the control and killing of people of color. And the police have extended this so that we see people just being outright shot in the street for infractions as small as stealing a can of soda or stealing candy or whatever. It's ridiculous that this is even going on. During the Black Lives Matter movement conference that took place in Cincinnati, okay, this is the same place where Sam DuBose was just killed by Officer Tinsdale. Tingley? What's his name? I always get this guy's name wrong. But whatever, there was a conference there, and there was a protest that took place. And during this protest, a 14-year-old black boy was taken into custody by police under the suspicion that he was violating an open container law. He had a Snapple in his hand, folks. He had a Snapple. And people lost it. The black folks that were there, the people that were protesting, they began to chant. They began to ask for the police to let the child go. And the police pepper sprayed and attacked the peaceful protesters simply because they were trying to save the life of this black child. They were terrified of what was going to happen to him. People are just being snatched up, kidnapped, disappeared, killed. And it's a form of state violence and state terror that should not be occurring in our country. Folks, the United Nations is looking at our country and asking what the heck is going on over here. 150 some countries called on the United States to do something about the modern day lynchings going on of black people in this country. And then there's white folks getting upset when we say Black Lives Matter. That's crazy. In 2012, here's another factoid you all need to know. In 2012, the latest year for which there is data available, 73.2% of inmates who died in jail for any reason had not been convicted of a crime. 73.2% of inmates who died in jail for any reason had not been convicted of a crime. Let that sink in. That's 698 people. The largest chunk of those deaths, 348 total, happened within the first 7 days of being booked into the facility. Remember when I told you before? It happens right after they book them. Most of the time it happens within 24 hours. This was the case for Sandra Bland, for Henry, for Chapman, for Jones. And let me give you another name, Raynetta Turner. This is a suburban New York mother of 8 children ranging in ages from 8 to 21. She had a medical emergency. She was found dead in her jail cell in St. Louis, Missouri. St. Louis, Missouri. Missouri, isn't that the place where, oh yeah, Michael Brown. Michael Brown, where the protests happened, where in Ferguson, the majority of people in the town of Ferguson had warrants out for them. Many of them more than one. It's incredible, after everything that's come out of all of this, that we are not angry, that we are not reacting immediately with suspicion when we hear of yet another death at the hands of police, whether it's in police custody, whether they're found dead in their jail cells of mysterious conditions or mysterious suspected suspicious suicides. And they are two different things. Dying in police custody could mean dying tasered to death in the back of a squad car. You know, it could mean a lot of things. When we're talking about the jail cell deaths, it's a completely different thing. And you have to remember, 72.3% of the people that are found dead in their cells hadn't been convicted of anything yet. And what was Raynetta Turner, do you think, charged with, Duke?
Would it be shoplifting again?
Yeah, shoplifting.
Wow.
Mother of eight. Here's a final factoid. In 2012, the bail system in our country. By the way, we are the only country, I believe, that still has this arcane form, cruel form of bail. Some would call it debtor's prison, which is supposed to be unconstitutional. And many argue that bail in and of itself is unconstitutional. I agree that it is. I think that it violates equal protection, the equal protection clause of the Constitution, because it isn't applied equally to people of color, just as the laws aren't applied equally to people of color, just as police lynchings aren't applied equally to people of color and to whites in this country, because we know that the majority of the people that are in prison, on parole or in probation in this country, are Black and Native and Latino. And we know that the majority of deaths at the hands of police are of Blacks, Native Americans, and Latinos. So we know that this is a system that is unjust, flawed, in many cases corrupt, all the way up. But we have this ridiculous bail system. The bail system in most jurisdictions is based on a present dollar amount that correlates with the charge. These bond schedules, as they are known, are blind to the financial status of the person who is charged with a crime. It doesn't matter if you're homeless. It doesn't matter if you're sick. It doesn't matter what kind of financial situation you're in. As a result of this, about 90% of people incarcerated pretrial defendants are in jail only because they don't have the money to post bail. This system costs taxpayers because the taxpayers are the people paying for these people to be housed in a cage. And then we're also paying, mind you, we're paying for the misconduct and the deaths, the lawsuits faced by the police department in the cities at the hands of these police. This system is costing taxpayers, the bail system, cost about $9 billion annually. But the bail bondsmen's are making out. And the private prison industries are making out like bandits. CCA, Geo Group, these guys, they're in there to make money. And in addition to increasing recidivism for those who stay in jail for longer periods of time, this is an extra bonus side effect that you're actually increasing the likelihood by however much time you make a person sit in a jail for shoplifting or some other ridiculous minor misdemeanor charge, which, as I told you earlier, is the majority of the people in there. It increases the likelihood that you'll end up in there again. And I believe one of the main reasons for that is because once you have been targeted by police and you have a criminal record for whatever ridiculous thing you pleaded out for, because you also don't know, folks, that most of the people that are in these predicaments don't have the money to go to court and hire an attorney. And if you have not been charged with a felony, which most of these people aren't, as I have earlier told you, then you don't get a free lawyer. You know that thing that they read you, the Miranda rights, where they say you have the right to remain silent, and if you can't afford an attorney, one will be only if you're charged with a felony, though. not if you're charged with a misdemeanor, which again, most of these folks that are sitting in jail that haven't been convicted are charged with. So what did 99.9% of all court cases, criminal or civil, do? They settle. They come to an agreement. We don't have the time, resources, or anything, jail space, to actually go through every single case and take it to a trial. That would never happen. It could never happen in this country or any other, I would guess. It's probably physically impossible. And the way that things are, people have to sit in jail all the time for years sometimes because they're waiting for a trial. That's why when you commit a serious crime, a felony like killing someone, or you're being accused of a serious crime, you get a speedy trial, but only in those cases, you see. So what do those folks have to do? Well, lots of times, the Department of Justice found that this was true in Ferguson and other cities that they've investigated for police misconduct and abuses of the people of color in their communities. They find that they trump up the charges. They add some resistant arrest or, you know, some other public intoxication or what have you. Well, that you have to prove with a blood test. But they stack charges so that they have a way of bargaining down from something. Okay, well, we're going to charge you with this, only this one thing. And that means maybe you'll get time served. Maybe you'll have to serve a little bit more time. But it's a fascinating decision to make where you could end up actually facing a year or more jail time for some misdemeanor crime, or you take whatever time serve you have and take something on your record. You agree that you committed a crime, even if you didn't do it. Because having shoplifting on your record at the time doesn't seem as horrible as sitting in the jail cell longer, and possibly for even longer than that. So a lot of these folks, they plead out, they end up with a conviction. Now there's something on their record. And when you hear, I want you guys to think, to ask questions. When the police have taken another person of color into custody, or when they've killed another person of color, and they read you the rap sheet on the news, but he had this rap sheet, minor paraphernalia or drug possession, nonviolent crime. Maybe there was a domestic. Maybe there was some kind of other misdemeanor crime, public intoxication. Who knows? But you know what? Most of them you will find are people that are targeted again and again for these types of citations for misdemeanor crimes. Because guess what, folks? It's a lot easier to get those people through the system because they don't have the money to fight back with lawyers. They don't have the money even to pay their bail. So swoosh, slam dunk for the cop, right? And then prosecutors, they build their whole careers off of how many people they can convict. They don't want to waste taxpayer money and get a mistrial like Knodel, right? You don't want to have that. Nobody wants to retry things because it sucks a bunch of taxpayer dollars out of the coffers. They want to win. And these are easy cases to win because they have people pinned against the wall. And the people think, well, it's just a misdemeanor crime. I better take it. I don't want to sit in this jail. But once you start stacking those, they can be a footnote on your epitaph on some nightly evening news story where you become a hashtag and they read that list of those little misdemeanor crimes. I want you folks to think about all this stuff and tell us what you think. Tell us what your thoughts are on the people that are being found in jails. You've been listening to KPPP LPFM, broadcasting online through 365 Live and soon to be found on your radio dial at FM 88.1. Get in touch with us at 701-566-0917. Or media_PPP, or Cindy@KPPPFM.com, or Duke@KPPFM.com. Stay woke, folks.